Good to be here. Good to be saved. And we're not here because we have nothing better to do. We're not here because it's our obligation. Well, you ought not be here out of obligation. I'm here because I love the Lord. Because He first loved me. And that's why I love Him this morning. And I'm glad that He has taken care of us, not only concerning our sin, but has God ever helped anybody with any sorrow in here? Has God ever helped somebody at a standstill when you couldn't do nothing? God help you. He's helped me. What about stagnancy? I'm just going through our Sunday school. When bitter times come. Anybody ever been bitter with life? Has anybody ever got bitter with God? And even then, you know, He'll take care of you and He'll provide for you and make a way of escape. And man, I'm so thankful for all that He's done concerning my sin, my standstills, my stagnancy. Man, God's been good to us, and I'm thankful for it. I want you to take your Bible this morning, book of Exodus, chapter number 32. I've been in Exodus this week. Started really just looking at it for Sunday school. That's where we're teaching from. And they just started reading through it, and God showed me something I've never really seen and I've never preached on this morning out of Exodus chapter 32. And I'm going to go through. I've got a decent introduction, so if you'll just hang with me this morning through the introduction. And then I believe God's got a word for us after that. And I really think today may be halfway brief. And I know y'all think I'm lying. I probably am. But that's in my mind, I think it's going to be. So that counts for something, right? But anyways, Exodus chapter number 32. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. This is what God's put in our heart for this hour. Exodus 32, verse number 1. The Bible said this, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And then when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And they turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them." How many of y'all have seen that happen? Amen. "Turned aside quickly out of the way, which I have commanded them." Verse number 8, "They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee," talking to Moses, "a great nation." I want to read verse number 1 again. If we could, the Bible said, "And when the people saw that Moses," can everybody say that next word, "delayed." "And when the people saw that Moses delayed." If I could this morning, God's never showed this to me like this, but I want to try to preach a real helpful, practical message to those of you who are here this morning on this, the danger of delays. The danger of delays. Now, you hang with me for a few moments, and maybe the Lord will come by and help us one more time. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Now, Lord, I can't preach without you, so God, I pray for that special touch, Lord, and that unction that only You can give. I pray, God, for the Holy Ghost, Lord, to crawl all over me, and God, to preach to me and through me this morning, not so I could get a good job or a pat on the back or a handshake, but Lord, that Your voice would go forth and lodge in the hearts of these people. God, if there be one here lost, Lord, I understand what I'm preaching on, but God, through and by the power of the Holy Ghost and the drawing conviction, Lord, I pray that You'd reach into their hearts, and God, that somehow, some way or another, Lord, that they would see their need of a Savior here this morning. God, do that work, a complete and a balanced and a perfect work, Lord. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name and for His sake. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning real simple, just for a little while, on the danger of delays. Now, you'll have to hang tight with me and pay real close attention for the next few moments. If I could, by way of introduction, I want to say it is here in our text a very familiar portion of Scripture that we find that the man of God, Moses, is up on the mountaintop with God. And we understand that while Moses has been on the mountain now for 40 days and 40 nights receiving the instruction that God would have for the nation of Israel, we understand why the man of God is up on the mountain with God, that the people of God have lost their minds. Can I get a good amen right there? I mean, these people have watched God do the impossible for them time and time and time again, but somehow or another, as soon as they get a spare moment where they don't see God doing those things, they have taken off their golden earrings and their jewelry. They have melted down their gold, and they have created with their own hands a golden calf, a molten calf. And these people have bow down and begin to worship this golden calf. Can I say that is absurd to me? I have heard this story. How many of y'all have heard this story? You get taught this story when you're a little kid in Sunday school, how the nation of Israel had a golden calf and worshiped it. But if any of y'all are like me, I've been in church my whole life, and I've heard this text preached and told on my whole life. But has anybody like me ever wondered what in God's name would possess a group of people to do something this foolish and this silly? I've never personally understood how they reached the place where they got this out there. I mean, this is, for some of you hippies back in the day, this is far out, man. I mean, this is far out. Praise God. I mean, they took their earrings, and think about it now for a moment. They took their jewelry off and melted it and created their own God, and then worshiped that God that they created. Now, I need a little Baptist help this morning. Listen to me. If my God is created by me, that means I'm more powerful than it is. Can I get a witness? I'm glad this morning we're not worshiping little fat Buddha. Can I get some help this morning? I'm telling you, I feel sorry for those people who bow down to an image and an idol. Listen to me. Fat Buddha's dead and in hell this morning. Can I say I'm glad I'm not worshiping Muhammad? I'm glad, thank God, when you walk by the tomb where my Savior lay, unlike any other man, He got up from the grave and He's no longer there. Our God is alive and well and seated upon His throne. And it's just good to know that our God's real this morning. And that same God who saved our souls has delivered these people from Egyptian 430 years with Egyptian bondage, and yet here they are, Brother Chris, far out, man. Far out. I've never understood. I'm just going to be God. I've been in church my whole life. I've just never understood how they got here. It's never made sense to me. I've always pondered it. I've always wondered it, and really never made a big to-do about it, but I just never understood, Brother Chris, why they would do such a thing until this week, and the Lord showed me. I know why they done it. That's what I'm going to preach to you on this morning. Look at verse 1 again. And when the people saw that Moses, what's the next word say? That's why they done it. There was a delay that entered into their lives. Has anybody ever been put on pause? Any of y'all's plans ever been halted? Any of y'all ever had great big dreams and desires and all of a sudden things just were delayed? It's a, you say, preacher, I mean, is a delay in and of itself dangerous? Oh, no. Delays by themselves, Brother Caleb, are not dangerous. Matter of fact, I believe that most of the time delays come in your life to keep you from danger. But I'm going to tell you what makes times of delay dangerous. It's how you respond. That's why they become dangerous. I don't know how y'all think, but this is how I think. I used to be really bad about getting frustrated. I travel a lot. After this week, I'm fixing to hit the road for 2 weeks. I'll be gone preaching. I travel a lot. I'm in a lot of traffic. I'm in a lot of construction. Brother Caleb, y'all, Brother Jeff, y'all, I mean, y'all have traveled way more meetings and gone a lot more than I am. I mean, I bet you experience, especially the big old trucks, I bet y'all experience some delays. I never forget when the Lord first started letting me travel some, that it was nothing on the planet that would upset me more. Then when I looked at that GPS and it said ETA, estimated time of arrival, 6 o'clock, and then I hit one delay and it jumped to 7:30. It used to make my skin crawl. Until one day, the Lord spoke to me. We hit a delay. We sat on the interstate, same spot for hours and hours. Hours, I mean, I think it was like 5 or 6 hours in one spot. We didn't move on the interstate. And I thought, I'm good God. I just want to go home. I just said, any of y'all ever felt that? I mean, I just want to get where I'm going. What is going on? Until 6 hours went by and we drove by what had happened. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, would you rather sit in traffic for 6 hours or left your family like those people did? Yeah. You know, I started looking at delays a little bit different. Have y'all ever been ready right on time fixing it? I mean, you're going to make it right on time. You're finally going to make it on time. And get halfway down the road and realize you forgot your wallet. Forgot your purse. Or the kid ain't got, if you're in my predicament, passes are like gold. We'll get in the car and soon first thing out of my mom's mouth, where's passes? Who's got the passes? Who got the passes? Where's the passes at? I forgot it on the counter. You know what we're doing? U-turning. I don't care if I'm here at 11:30. We ain't coming to that passage. Oh yeah. You know what we've just been put in? A delay. How many times have you been turned around delayed? You get down and you drive right up on an accident just happened. You ever reckon God may have let you forget the passing on the counter to protect you? You know, Brother Christopher, if we're not careful, we're getting looking at delays like they are against us. But did you know God has put these people on delay because He has a great, big, mighty purpose? For 40 days, Brother Isaac, and for, think about it, for 40 days and for 40 nights, why is Moses on the mountain and why are they in delay? I don't have time to go through it all and teach it to you and preach it to you, but I am going to give you up to this point what's happened all the way from Exodus chapter 13 to chapter number 32. Can I say in Exodus 13, that's when Moses finally leads the nation of Israel out. In Exodus chapter 14, God opens up the Red Sea and they walk through on dry ground. Exodus chapter 15, God made the bitter waters of Marah sweet so they could drink. Exodus chapter 16, God rains down bread from heaven and feeds them as they perish with hunger. Exodus chapter 17, God made water bust out of a rock in Horeb to give them something to drink. Also in Exodus 17, God gives them victory in their first battle over Amalek, a titan, a picture of the flesh. And chapter number 8:19, God sets apart and sanctifies Mount Sinai. And God, my friend, would usher in His presence through the fire and the cloud and the smoke. And in chapter 19, God would meet with these people on Mount Sinai. In chapter number 20, 21, 22, and 23, God has given Moses the commandments and the ordinances for the people. He's providing them with clear direction on how they're to live their lives so they can not only maintain peace among themselves, but live a life that is pleasing and peaceful between them and God. And then in Exodus chapter number 24, God establishes a covenant between Himself and His people, and they vow, Brother Christian, chapter 24, they're going to keep this covenant all their life. How many of y'all has ever told God, you got all of me, but then when delays come, can you take your book, hold your finger right there and go back to chapter 24 real quick? Look with me in verse 12. Told you I got a lengthy introduction today. Let's look at verse 12. Exodus 24. What did I tell y'all? Chapter what? 24. Look at verse 12. I'm going to show you why Moses, look right here it is. Verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. So right out of the get-go, why is Moses on the mountain with God? To receive instruction from God to teach those people. Look at verse number 13. Moses rose up and he and his minister Joshua. Moses went up to the mount of God and he said to the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have matters to do, let him come to thee. Moses went up into the mountain and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And at the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on up the top of the mountain, the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So we see in chapter 24 that, my friend, that Moses is not just wasting time. He's not on vacation. He's not sightseeing. He is on the mount. Did you know the first week that Moses went up on Mount Sinai for 6 days, he didn't even get to go in. All he got to do was witness the glory of God on Mount Sinai for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God let him in. And when Moses entered into the presence of God and the glory of God, he was then there 40 days and 40 nights. It's there that God deals with him on Mount Sinai and gives him the law, and he'll end up giving him two tables of stone to write the law on, and my friend, and so on and so forth. But from verse 15 to 18, can I say the man of God goes up on the mountain, and my friend, he's there for one reason, and that's to get everything God wants done in his heart for the people of Israel to successfully make it through their wilderness journey in pursuit of Canaan's fair land. We don't have time. You can read this and study this when you go home. But from this point on, nothing changes. From 24 to 32, he's on the mountain every chapter. From chapter 24 to chapter 32, what we read this morning, Moses is in the mountain of Sinai with God. Here's what he's doing. I just got them wrote down. We ain't going to go chapter by chapter. But this is in order what takes place. Can I say it is from 24 to 32. God lays it all out in great detail. And tells Moses what he wants for his people concerning, number one, the tabernacle. God tells Moses what he wants concerning the tabernacle. God tells him what he wants concerning the altar and the offerings. And God begins to deal with the Ark of the Covenant. God shows him what to do with the table of showbread. And God begins to deal with him about the golden candlestick and the different kinds of curtains for the tabernacle and wood that is to be used and used to build with. And God deals with the bronze altar, and God deals with the court of the tabernacle, and God tells Moses about the priest and the garments that they should wear, and God deals with the altar of incense, the anointing oil. Matter of fact, God goes as far to tell Moses which men he needs to use to build what. Go study this. Read it for yourself. From chapter 24 to chapter 32, all God is doing is instructing the man of God how he and the nation of Israel are to move forward in their wilderness journey. And lastly, the last thing God deals with on that mountain before we get here is the Sabbath day. God makes it, tells him, says, Moses, I created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day I rested. And so he institutes the Sabbath for Moses and the children. I mean, this is important stuff. If you know anything about your Bible, that tabernacle and the altar and the priests and their garments, and I mean, this is great, vitally important for them. Yeah, right. And while Moses is up on the mountain, Moses is up on the mountain getting direction. Yeah. and they're in delay.
Yeah.
Is the delay in and of itself dangerous? No. But what they've done during that delay is what's very dangerous. Can I say this morning? Why would they go to the extent to create their own false god and then fall down and worship it and give a golden calf they created credit for what only God can do? Same reason that people are still doing it today. It may not be a physical golden calf. But God is the people are still doing what these people have done. Can I say, I begin to wonder, why are these people so, and I, for you know, sorry for lack of proper terminology, why are they so dumb? Why are they so delirious? I mean, these people are out there. Why are they so desperate? And surely, why are they so disobedient? Moses told them, I read it to you. Tarry here. And if you got any problems, that's why I'm leaving Aaron and Hur. Aaron and Hur was tied up with them.
Yeah.
Why? One word. Please stay with me. Delay.
Amen.
There was a delay. Can I say this? It was the one thing that drove them off the deep end.
Yeah.
Any of y'all ever feel like you just starting maybe see the tide turn in your life and God says, I'll never forget when God was dealing with it. He called me to preach, and I was preaching out some, quite a bit. And I knew God was wanting to do. God had worked something in my heart, and I just did not know what. And you know what He done for 3 months? He brought delay into my life. I'm telling you all the God's truth. I'll never forget. I couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. I was miserable, and people seen it all around me, and asked what's wrong, and I tell them, I don't know. I couldn't explain it. I just knew God was working something in me and I did not know what. And for whatever reason, I still don't know. He'll tell me one of these days. For 3 months, He put me in delay. I was miserable. You know what He was doing in those 3 months? After the end of 3 months, what He done? He birthed this church in my heart. April made 8 years. We're 8.5 years in, and I'll never forget as a 21-year-old boy. I mean, I'm telling y'all, I look back, and it's a miracle that we are still here 8.5 years, and things ain't perfect by no means, and we still got areas we need major growth in. But listen to me, you are looking at a product of a delay. This church was put in delay. We're made up of people who have been in times and living now times of delay. And God does it all for a reason, Brother Chris. Can I say for 40 days and 40 nights they're waiting on Moses to come out of that mountain? Isn't it amazing when you have expectations for what God needs to be doing and He ain't doing it, how it can drive you crazy? All they wanted at this point, I believe, was Moses. Because the Bible said in verse 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed, this ain't even about really what God was doing or not doing, but the physical craving. They only knew one thing. We don't really know about this man. We don't really know about this God. But what we do know is that this stuttering Moses has led us to and through things we've never seen before, and he's been gone for a month. Where is our man of God? Where is Moses? I think it'd be safe to say it like this. Up to this point, maybe life had kind of become it's a normal thing for Moses to lead them. What happens when God tucks you in a corner by yourself and takes away everybody that's been holding your hand? It puts you in a delay. You know what? If not careful, that delay can become dangerous. 40 days and 40 nights, they're waiting on Moses to come out of the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights, they're wondering where Moses would lead them next. You ever wonder what God's fixing to do around the corner? But you don't know because it's in delay. Am I preaching to myself and by myself? Or does anybody know what this feels like?
Amen.
Has anybody been here for 40 days and 40 nights? They were witnessing Moses being in the glory. They could see Mount Sinai. They seen the cloud. They seen fire. They seen the smoke. Moses had been up there for 40 days and 40 nights plus 7. So for 47 days and 47 nights, imagine being down in the valley, Brother Isaac, and looking on Mount Sinai, and it's nothing but smoke and a cloud and fire, and knowing that's the glory of God. But you know what they had? Moses was in the glory, and all they could do is gaze at him. You ever look at somebody else in the glory and it seems like you're down there yonder by yourself? Hey, you know what God's done? He's put you in delay. He's delayed you for a purpose. But if you're not careful, you will take your delay and allow it to become dangerous. Delay is what they could not digest. It wasn't that the glory of God was on the mountain and they weren't in it. I don't think they were craving the glory as much as they were. Why are we stuck here? Hey, anybody stuck this morning? We might not get very far, but I'm trying to help you. It's what God has put in my heart. Say, how you know you're supposed to preach it? Because it's what God gave me. So I know there's somebody that you were, felt like everything was fixing to pan out. They thought, hey, just any day now, we're going to be in Canaan, sipping on honey and milk and banana wafers, eating cheesecake and ribeyes. I mean, we fixed it. We come out of Egypt. God's promise is that we're going to Canaan. It could be tomorrow. I mean, they didn't realize how long it was going to take them. And the journey, listen to me. God don't work over a moment or a minute. He works over a lifetime. God works in you from the day you're born to the day you die. And His will for your life is complete when you check out of here.
Amen.
You know what we're living in? This is the fast food generation. I'm going to tell you how dumb our generation is, Brother Caleb. We are dumb as hammers. We're getting a drive-thru. We'll put in a big order. We'll get up to the window and they'll say, can you please pull forward? The chicken nuggets are cooking. It's going to be 2 minutes. We're not waiting 2 minutes. I thought this was fast food. I mean, it's supposed to be fast. I'm not going to pull up here and wait 2 minutes. I'm going somewhere else that I can get some hot food. Now, all you have to do is wait 2 minutes, but you'll travel 5 minutes. Do I got anybody? You'll travel 5 minutes down the road and get hot food, get there and find out they're 2 minutes out too. You couldn't learn to eat, digest, use the bathroom, and took a nap before you ever get your food because you're in such a hurry. That's the generation we're living in. I want it not now, I want it yesternow. Look here, listen to me, people. I'm trying to help you today. If you don't learn how to wait on God, you ain't going to make it. You're not making it to Canaan, which is the victorious Christian life. We preach it, teach it as type of heaven, but in all reality, God's really speaking. When you look at this, it is the victorious Christian life. It is living in the blessing of. Do I got anybody? Just be honest. Don't lie. We got a bunch of liars in church. Quit lying. Does anybody want to be in the living, in the favor, and the blessing of God? I do. I don't want some of it. I want it all.
Amen.
And if you're being honest, you do too. Did you know you can get there?
Yeah.
In His time?
Amen.
In His time, He'll answer in His time. His song we listen to it every week. It plays on back there in the palace, singing. And listen to me, God's time is not your time. God will bring forth delays. If you're like me, I don't like them. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm a fast food generation guy too. Cell phones, hey, dial up, ain't gonna work no more. Y'all remember, I remember this as a boy. When I'd get on there, hit AOL.com and go, and make it little dial up. You sit there patiently waiting. You let your phone or your computer do that now. You, honey, get this piece of junk out of here. What is it? Because we want it at the tip of our fingertips. And this generation thinks that's how God works. Look here. He don't. He don't. And here these people are losing their minds over one word. Delay. Can I say this? I told you it's a lengthy introduction. Moses had not denied them. Neither had God. But they felt denied. I need y'all to pick up what I'm throwing down. Moses had not denied these people, and God had not denied them. But that's how they felt, because of their delay. Moses had not deserted them. Notice what they said. Notice what they said in verse number 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not, what has become? We don't know where he's deserted us, Aaron. Now, is that the truth? No. Any of y'all feel like God's deserted you because of a delay? He's not.
Amen.
He's not. I need somebody to hear me. Just because the pause button's pushed in your life don't mean God's quit on you. Matter of fact, He's working it all for our good. Hello? Do you love God? Have you been called according to His purpose? Then He's working it for your good. Because the Bible said all things work together for good to them, love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. It's not you got to understand something. It's not our purpose He's fulfilling. It's His.
Amen.
Moses had not deserted them, neither had God, but they felt that way because of the delay. What about this? They felt like Moses and God had disappeared on them. Must be nice. I mean, everything's going good for Moses. Look at the cloud and smoke. Look at the pillar of fire. Look at it. I mean, who cares about us? But that wasn't the truth. Moses wasn't up over his feet, getting propped up on a rock. Such shouting and crying. Moses was in school. God was speaking faster than he could contain it. I mean, he's right there with okay. All right, Lord. Yes. Table. Okay. Showbread. Got you. Curtain. Okay. These men. This time. Well, I got you. The altar. Ark and covenant. Okay. Tip tap. Okay. Yeah. For 40 days, God's putting him through the mill so he can go down there and lead them to the promised land. Isn't it amazing how we drum up what God is must be doing? Can I tell y'all a bit of information right here? You don't know what God's doing, but whatever He's doing, you can trust.
Amen.
I don't get more amens than that. There's something you don't have to know what God's doing to trust what God's doing.
Right.
You know why most people fail and fall flat on their face in this thing we call life? Because I was talking about fast food, the Burger King Christians. I'm going to have it my way. More power to you. But when your way gets in front of His way, delay is just the beginning of your sorrow.
Amen.
I don't know what God... I've had people ask me, why is God doing this? I don't know. I've had people lose loved ones. Why did God take them right? I don't know. But you can trust it.
Amen.
I mean, I was supposed to get this job. Why did it fall through at the last minute? I don't know. Am I helping anybody?
Amen.
But you can trust it.
Yeah. Yes.
But this was my goal. This was my plan. This is my ambition. This is what I set out to do. And I felt like God wanted me to do it. But it fell through. I don't know why. But you can trust it.
Yeah.
And y'all ever been cruising through life and the bottom just fall out?
Yes, sir.
I don't know why, but can you look back on some of them times and now you see
yes.
And you're thankful for what you used to hate?
Amen.
And y'all ever said that you're pulling your hair out, tears running down your face, your heart broke, anxiety running through you, depression taking over you. I mean, it got you to a point you wanted to take your own life and you could not understand why of all people you were going through that delay, but now you thank God for that delay.
Amen, amen.
Because He's working it for you good. They show you this morning, you mad at God because of things that's happened to you in your life. Maybe things that's been taken. But God, anybody listening?
Amen.
You might not say it, but you're bitter with God because of what you went through.
Yeah.
Look here. heaven is going to fix it all. You may not understand it now, but you will in the sweet by and by. I'm telling you, and I need a little help. There is a God we can trust this morning. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what He's doing. You can trust God in your delays. You can trust Him in your delays. Don't let times of delay become dangerous for you. If you're not careful, you'll become discontent in times of delays. Long introduction, I told you beforehand. If you're not careful, you'll become discouraged in times of delay. And you ever feel like you believe it for the first 6 months that God's hearing your prayers, but then after that, it's like, I don't know if He is or not. You get discouraged. You don't know why? Because we are tangible people. We need to feel it. We need to be able to fix it. I'm a fixer. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest problems I've got in ministry. It's a bad thing to have a problem with when you're trying to do what I'm doing. I worry so much about people. I get up like the big bad wolf and say, I don't get a rip, watch off and go home and cry like a girl. That's what I do. Because I do care. Oh, I'm when I'm in preaching gear, it just comes out. When I go home, I'm thinking, oh, dear God, did I really say that? They're never coming back. I fight those battles. I want to fix everything. If I feel a little distance, y'all don't have any idea how many text messages I have had typed up that were this long. And I ain't sent them because I know you think I was crazy, but I had to do something to get it out. Come on, somebody. I've worried myself sick. I don't want to fix it. But you know what God wants from you? Here's your problem. You ready? Here we are. How many of y'all do this with all your problems? You try to figure them out. You examine them. You try to iron it. Yeah. Maybe fold it a different way. Maybe don't fold it at all. Maybe put it over your shoulder. Put it in your pocket. Put it on the cover. What do we do? It's a problem. Here's what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's easy preaching, brother. But for me, that's so hard living.
Amen.
But you know what God wanted them to do when they're down there trying to fix it, figure it out? Leave it alone!
Amen.
Listen, God knew what He was doing.
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to understand it don't have to make sense to you to make sense to God.
Right.
Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Some of y'all get that tomorrow morning when you clock in. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? You know, when you have an occurrence, something occurs to you, and just, oh, there it is. God's never had one of them because He already knows.
Amen.
You're sitting here trying to figure out why and what and who and when and where and how and your delay, and God has already got the thing fixed. And until you learn to trust Him, your delay don't stop. As long as you, I'm telling you, I've been there. God's taught me the hard way. As long as I keep my hand in it, He'll leave the delay. But typically when I really get to the point, I say, I mean it, Lord. I'm done. That's when usually He'll take me to the next level and show me what He was wanting to do the whole time. The word delay is defined like this. Stay with me just for a few moments. It means this, a lingering. It means a stay, a stop. It means to be put off. Webster 1828, look it up. It means to be hindered for a time. Delay means to simply just kind of be paused, if you will. I say, I believe they're ready for the next adventure. Hey! You see God open the Red Sea and let you walk through on dry land, you'd be looking for the next miracle too. Miracle chasers. I don't blame them. I'd have been chasing them too. I believe they're looking forward to the next leg of the journey. What's God going to do next? What's Moses going to preach next? I mean, last time he told us God was going to give us water from a rock, he did. And last time he told us God was going to rain bread out of heaven, he did. And last time he told us that God was going to make bitter water sweet, he did. And last time he said God was going to part the sea, I mean, what's next? They're looking for the next big thing. I wonder if God, instead of making a golden calf and trying to find the next high, I wonder if God didn't want them to just worship on the things He had already done.
Amen.
You don't know why you get so discontent and discombobulated? Is that a real word?
Yep.
In times of delay? Because you're already over what He's done.
Right.
You're focusing on what He's going to do. Hey, just enjoy this pause and pray. Does everybody know what Selah is? It's all throughout the Psalms. S-E-L-A-H. To pause. But did you know what the word means? Praise. Do you know what God brings pauses into your life for you to do? Every time you see a pause, a Selah, praise Him. They got so desperate, they started praising their own tangible, materialistic, man-made God.
Right.
They could have took that time, brother. Praise the real one.
Amen.
Well, I ain't where I want to be, but you ain't where you was.
Right.
I mean, help me, somebody. Has God not done enough for you to praise Him in your pause?
Right.
Instead of trying to figure it out and figure out how you're going to get to the next miracle, won't you just thank Him for the ones He's already done? God knew what they needed in order to make it to the next adventure. That's why He's on the Mount with Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. How many times in your life has the journey been delayed and you thought you were ready for something? You thought you were ready for it, whatever it was, to take place, yet God in His infinite wisdom and knowledge delayed you because He knew something you didn't. Do you know God knows something you don't? About something that you're going through or dealing with? He don't make He don't make mistakes.
Amen.
I got about 5, maybe 6 on a good day amens, and that's right. I said God don't make mistakes.
Amen.
If He's got you in a delay, just know He knows something you don't.
Amen.
It don't make no sense to you. It's because you don't have the infinite knowledge and wisdom to know what He's doing. But He's doing something. God knew they had gone as far as they could go with what they had. Did I say there was no tabernacle right here? There was no law, Brother Jeff. I mean, it's been a good time. They went through the Red Sea. They've got to eat bread out of heaven once. They've got to see stagnant, bitter waters made sweet. They've got to see a rock bust open and a river of water flow out. I mean, they've seen some cool stuff, but cool stuff don't get you through everything.
Right.
It's been blessing, 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 but listen, you ain't going to make it just off blessing. You need some Bible. God's giving Moses the law. He's giving him the book. He's giving him something for them to go by. Statutes and ordinances. I mean, the fine's fixing to run out. And I say sometimes when everything's just too good to be true, most of the time it's just because it is too good to be true. And if God slows it down, let Him. And take that time to let Him put that law in your heart and instruct you on what to do next. There's one thing I know this morning, it's that we all hate delay. I hope this is helping you. It's what God told me to preach on, so somebody needs it.
Amen.
And it could be that you're sitting here thinking, oh, praise God, this ain't for me. Well, thank the Lord. But your delay might be right after the service.
Amen.
Some of y'all is going to work every day. What happens tomorrow morning when you wake up and you're dizzy? You go to the doctor and find out there's something really bad, and for the next 2 years you're in a bad place in your health. God delays you. You do know you're just one bad headache away. You're one just bad heart race away. You're one shortness of breath away from being put on delay.
Oh, yeah.
I know everything seems good at home. What if your wife decides she don't want to love you no more? your husband. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
What happens when you wake up tomorrow morning and your heart, your child changes everything about your world and rips your heart out? Happens every day. Hello?
Amen.
Happens every day. I know things might seem good now, but they can change like that. And you're in delay. Everything's put on pause. What are you going to do? You going to do it like they did and lose your mind? Or are you just going to know God is somewhere up on the mountain? Can I get a little help? He is up on the mountain this morning. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. And He's in the glory this morning. Oh yeah. And my friend, our greatest preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, is getting clear instruction to help you and me this morning. You might as well accept as children of God that delays are coming. And they are not dangerous if you respond the right way. Man, I've got so much I'd like to say, but I'm just going to have to stop. I ain't going to preach them. Let me give these points to you, and we might come back to them tonight. First of all, I want to say this morning, I want you to see this delay become dangerous, number one, because of their sin of impatience. It's dangerous because they got impatient. Their sin of impatience. I ain't going to preach none of this. I got verses for all this. Number two, I want you to see this delay became dangerous because of their sin of imitation. You know what you're going to do if you're not careful? You're going to play God. That's all they're doing. That's why they build a calf. They're just trying to pretend and imitate. You know what people do? They convince themselves of something and imitate God. Your delay will become dangerous because of your sin of impatience, sin of imitation. Thirdly, I want you to see this delay became dangerous. Now, I've got verses. This is verse by verse. We'll come back to it maybe tonight. This delay became dangerous because of their sin of idolatry. Verse 5 and 6. Their sin of imitation, verses 2 through 4. And their sin of impatience, verse 1. Let me back up and give you those verses. Fourth, I want you to see this delay became dangerous because of their sin of immorality. Verse 6 and verse 21 through 25. You know what they done? They got naked and buck wild. Verse 21 through 25. Not only did they rise up, sing and dance and rose up and play, but they was doing all this stuff butt naked. They got immoral. You know what you'll do if you're not careful in times of delay? I can show it to you all throughout the Scripture. You'll fight immorality harder right then than you ever will. You know what Abraham and Sarah got put on? Y'all gonna have a child. Promised seed. 50 years old. 60 years old. 70 years old. 80 years old. 90 years old. 100 years old. Still hadn't happened. It's coming. I'm telling you, God's done told me. God's done told you what the will of God is, but it's on delay. You ain't the first person. I need a little help. God told Abraham, Sarah, Isaac's coming. By the way, just because God's told you it's the will of God don't mean it's the time. Sometimes He says, pause. But what happened in their delay? They went nuts. Sarah got sick of waiting and said, Hey, Gar, see her? I bet she can have a baby. Abraham, won't you just lay with her and we'll just, you know what they done? They started imitating God. And through their imitation, they became immoral. And he sleeps with his maid. And here comes the wild man still to this day. The seed of Ishmael are wild men. Here he comes, old Ishmael. He ain't the promised seed. They got immoral. David had some downtime. What'd he do? Sold another man's wife, got her pregnant, killed her husband. Man after God's own heart in times of delay. He's supposed to be in battle, but he wasn't. He had downtime. What'd he do? He got immoral. What do these people do? Moses on the mountain for 4 days, 40 nights. They're butt naked. Hello? Mankind knew to cover their nakedness. Adam and Eve had enough sense after they sinned to put on a leafy suit. Amen. I mean, they know. And here they are. Moses, their preacher, for 40 days is in the glory and their butt staunch naked. Drinking and eating and dancing and fornicating and God knows what. Worshiping a cow they've made with their jewelry and their butt naked. Immoral, buddy. The immoral sin will destroy you in times of delay if you let it.
Amen.
Delays. That's just the points. I ain't going to preach them. But I want to ask you this. Brother Chris, go ahead and come if you would. Can we shift directions just for a moment? Stay with me. All of who's here this morning, you trying to do this thing we all call life your way. You know, there's been a lot of good people dying to try to go to heaven their way than me. You ain't going to make it to heaven your way. You ain't going to make it through this earth your way. Do I got any old school hard knocks in here? Tried it your way. Found out at the end of every road that you pick, it's the same old result. Failure. Fall throughs, falling outs. No faith. No godliness, no goodliness, no hope, no heritage, no Christianity, no glory. It's all guts and gore and destruction, jail time. Can I get a witness? And divorce. And y'all ever tried to marry the one you wanted? How that end? Your flesh like you can't stand them now. You used to love them. What happened? That was your husband, not his. It was your wife for you, not his. Been there. Done that. And y'all don't get to see kids all the time? Because you had them your way. It hurts, don't it? But it's so much sweeter when it's done God's way.
Yeah.
Now we ain't going to kick them to Gervin. But ain't that just something special?
Yeah.
It's God's way. And y'all ever picked your church that you want to go to? How'd that turn out? What about the church God wants for you? I'm pleading with you. Listen to me. You can't have it your way. You're going to end up like these people. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to have regrets. You're going to have scars. You're going to live with guilt and marks and bruises. God is trying to teach you to let God be God. Don't create your own way. Don't create your own God. Don't create your own path. Don't reach your destination. Don't know your wrath. God has a plan and a purpose for every person in here. You can mess it up. Some of you have. God in His grace, isn't He so gracious? Said, okay, have you learned anything? Now let's do it this way. You know what you're looking at today? Everybody sees the suit and, you know, the Bible and the shiny shoes. They see the preacher and the preacher just walks on water. If you knew where God has brought me from, I'm a nothing. I've been there. You know how I preach on these people? Because I've been like them. I've been down there while the glory of God was up on the mountain. I've been doing it my way. You know what's amazing about this story? Brother Jeff, for those that have read your Bible, you know how it goes. God gets so angry. He says, Moses, we read it. Verse 10, I believe it was.
He said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to do away with these people. I'll make a great nation out of you, Moses. You didn't know he could have started over with Moses like he did Adam. He wished God, by the way. And he said, Moses, I'm going to destroy all these people and start over with you. But Moses knew what it was to be a man too. He said, God, you remember what we are? We're just flesh. You know what Moses told him? What a great man of God. He said, if you do away with them, blot me out. Take me out of the books. That's crazy. God, up to this point, has led them through a Red Sea. Brother Caleb, we can't fathom this. The sea opened up and it's dry land. God led them through and destroyed Pharaoh and his armies when they tried to pursue them. God's fed them bread from heaven. He's opened up a rock, gave them water. He's made bitter water sweet. Led them through the wilderness of Shur, the wilderness of sin. Led them through Mara, because the stagnancy. Led them through Midgar and the Red Sea, a standstill. God's took care of all of them through all of these things. And here they are doing this. But we know what happens. God repents himself. You know what he does? Brother Jeff, same thing he's done about all of us. He reaches down. Not because we deserve him. He grabs him up. Says, that was pretty stupid, y'all. Let's try it. So if y'all sit here this morning, you're in delay. Can I give you some hope what God's going to do? If you don't get sideways and stupid, he'll do it sooner than later. He's going to say, let's give him another shot. Come on. Say, but I'm in the will of God, and I know it. So did Abraham and Sarah, but they still got ahead. Yeah. I can't say if you're going too quick or too slow. I don't know that. But if God's got you in delay, it's for a reason. Some of y'all here this morning, your life, if you're just going to be honest with you, I'm trying to hush. If you're honest with yourself, your life, really, it's the same old thing. You do good for a while, then you go back. Relationship's good for a while, then it's not. Church seems great for a while, and then you can't hardly make yourself go. Read the Bible for a month or two, and then you don't. You're like this. Your whole life has been inconsistent. You never just walked in sweet fellowship with God. Some of y'all don't have a helper. You're trying to maneuver through your life all by yourself, and I'm going to tell you where that ends. Death and destruction. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. I'm doing better. I picked myself up. Got me a new job. Got me a good family. Got a new truck, a new house. Turned over new leaf, preacher. I believe I'm doing good. I don't care how many leaves you turn over, there's only one God. He's the only hope you got from making it, not only from here to there, but making it from A to B down here in His will, in His way. Here's what I'm going to do. Nobody's looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. I won't come to you. I ain't going to grab you by the hand, peck you on the shoulder. I ain't going to call your name. I ain't going to do none of that. I'm just going to pray for you. Or if there's anybody to be honest, just me and the Lord looking. Nobody else is looking. Preacher, I'm here this morning, and I'll be honest with you. I'm going through this life all by myself.
I heard what you said, but I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Josh. I don't know the Lord this morning. I know about Him. Heard about Him. But I don't know Him for myself. I've never been saved. Nobody's looking. I'm not going to embarrass you. But the first step to knowing God is acknowledging you don't. Would anybody here, nobody looking around, just slip your hand right up, straight back down? I've never been saved, preacher. I need your prayers. I don't know the Lord. Anybody? Nobody's looking. I see that. Anybody else? Don't know Him, preacher. Never been saved. Straight up, straight down. Anybody else be honest? Never been saved. Yes, sir. See that? Yes, sir. See that? Never been saved, preacher. Straight up, straight down. Nobody's looking. Straight up, straight down. I don't know him. Been a few hands go up this morning. Let me ask you something. I want you to listen to me now for the next few moments. Everything in the world is going to try to distract you. I need you to just shut it out and listen. If God would take you just how you are, would you let Him?